Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the place where we are trying to know God, to love God, and to serve God. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and I'm wearing a special name tag today. Can you see it? I don't know. It says, Welcome, Friendly Links. Today we're beginning a new program during coffee hour. Some people are going to be reaching out and saying hello on behalf of all of us. So watch for our Friendly Links. We have in worship today Sue Collier, who is our artist for the day, and she is the person who makes those amazing quilts that are outside the main church office, so she's going to talk to us about that. You've come on a terrific day. Our worship leaders today are Carol Kapuska and Rose Bledsoe, I think. Yes? I'm not seeing Rose. Oh, that's because she's in the choir. That's good. So, as I share a few announcements, I'd like to invite any children that are still here in the room to go ahead and go to Sunday school. Number one, you are invited to come back this evening at 5 o'clock because there's going to be a town hall meeting with Pastor Lindsay and Pastor John. It will be a chance to talk together about what's happening in our United Methodist Church and General Conference that's coming, and about some churches that have, what we know about some churches that have chosen to disaffiliate, and about our own commitment to continue to be the church that knows and loves and serves God. So come, talk, learn. Next announcement, Christmas musical rehearsals are beginning October 15th. So you can get your kids registered, your grandkids, talk to your neighbors, invite them. They have a wonderful time, and we have a wonderful time watching the performance. There is a crop walk October 15th at 2 o'clock, and they start and they end right here at our own church. So sign up to do that. And then next Sunday, take a little trip down to our Whitmore Lake campus at 5 o'clock and have a wonderful spaghetti dinner. And that spaghetti dinner is going to help to fund Habitat for Humanity. So you get to be by the lake, you get to enjoy wonderful spaghetti, you get to look at that lovely church. There's a lot of reasons to go. Finally, whether you're new or not new, we really invite you to fill out those connection cards. That's the place where you can sign up for a lot of things. That's the place where you can let us know if there's been a change in your phone or your address. That's the place where we know that you were here and we can reach out and connect with you. You can place it in the offering plate or along with your prayer request cards. So now with all of that, I invite you to stand for our opening hymn, number 66.
Lord, rest on me, and so please, Lord, forgive and ever more. opening prayer this morning will be a responsive reading. The world around us is full of beauty.
We praise your name, O God.
For the gift of life on earth.
We praise your name, O God.
Open our eyes to see your artistry.
Your image in all that you have made.
Where our praise is short or silent.
All creation sings out with joy.
Here we join creation's song.
We praise your name, O God.
Let us lift our voices together in the opening prayer. Lord God, just as Jesus went into the wilderness for a quiet time with you, please quiet my loud, tumultuous thoughts and grant my mind rest. Help me to let go of the many distractions around me and focus my attention on you. And if the silence unsettles my spirit, help me to let the waves of your peace and presence wash over me. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our second reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And from Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Rose, for reading the message, the lessons for us this morning. Oh, dear church, it is so wonderful to be with you in worship this morning as we continue the sermon series on Divinely Created. It's good to be with you this morning. Will you please pray with me? From the demands and the pressures of this past week, Lord, we come, oh, seeking rest, seeking renewal. Hear the cries of our hearts, our prayers, our needs, and heal and restore us. Oh, for we ask this in Jesus' name. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer and the one who calls us your beloved children. Amen. Well, we live in Michigan, so I have a good car question for you. Have you ever been to the Henry Ford Museum?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nods, yeses. Yes. Well, it's if you haven't been, if you're visiting like with a relative from out of town or if you've missed this, it's a really large indoor and outdoor museum located in Dearborn. In addition to visiting the museum, visitors can also visit the factory tour and see how vehicles are made. Have you ever visited the Ford Rouge factory tour? Yes, quite a few nods on that one as well. I also have. I've had a chance to go twice now. And so as you enter the factory, visitors have this bird's eye view, don't you? If you remember it, you have this bird's eye view as you can walk around the perimeter of the factory. And so with this elevated view, you're able to peer down and you can see assembly line workers. They're putting together the Ford F-150 truck. I'm not a car person, but I think I got that right, the Ford F-150. I botched it saying that last week at Whitmore Lake. They're like, Pastor Lindsay, you don't know cars. And you're exactly right, I don't know cars. But it's the Ford F-150. And it's so fascinating, really, to see how vehicles get put together. And working with great speed, yet this great steady care, employees assemble all these vehicles. And visitors walk around the walkway. They see the machines taking steady pace as thousands of employees are putting together, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of trucks each day. Well, the first time I went to this factory tour, I noticed that there was this constant movement just all around me. There was like this hum of machines. Bum, ba bum, ba bum, just quickly moving hands and a hum of machines. And it was so choreographed, it was almost like they were dancing on the assembly line of quickly coordinating things as we walked around the perimeter, watching as everything kept going. There was never this pause, never the stopping, like clockwork. It just kept going. Well, the second time I went on the factory tour, I noticed that it was a much different experience. So here's the reason. When we went the second time, I'd taken my parents that were visiting from out of town. When we went the second time, the assembly line wasn't moving. Employees were not working. They had reported to work, but for whatever reason, there was no movement taking place. Everything was paused just for a moment in time. And so as visitors, we were still able to walk the skywalk, walk around the perimeter, but it was so fascinating to see different things taking place. As we peered down below, you know, our eyes down below, we saw factory workers waving at us. We saw factory workers that would take extra, like, lug nut parts or whatever, you know, extra parts they would have. And they were tossing extra parts up to kids like Candy Parade. You know, it was a fun thing. Only they're tossing out, like, lug nuts or something. We also saw employees just sitting and chatting. If they're at the part of the vehicle where the comfortable seats were in, they're sitting in the vehicles with them reclined, enjoying a nice little break there. There were even some playing cards and reading books, and life in the factory was just paused for a while everybody was there. I don't know how often the assembly line gets shut down for a moment in time. It probably wasn't the typical factory day at the Ford factory there. Most days, I'm sure that it is running. But for this moment of time, the humming of machinery wasn't happening. And it really got me wondering, how often do we feel like fast-working machinery that never gets a break unless we break down? How often do we wish and hope for just a moment's rest. Well, the scripture lessons this morning that Rose read for us turn our attention to the need for rest. And it turns our attention to the need that Jesus can help provide that rest and that need for us just to be still in God's presence. In this sermon series, Divinely Created, we've been considering about how we're all created in God's beautiful, divine image, with God's beauty all around us, from Mother Nature to the beautiful divine images of people all around us. And we've been considering, what does it mean for us too to be these beautiful creations of God? What does it mean for us then to live in this world? How are we to live in this world as God's beautiful divine creations? And it got me thinking for the past few weeks a lot about God's divine creations, about how we're people. We're not machines. And even when machines are running at their best, they never stop. But even machines, sometimes at their tip-top shape, that produce at the push of a button, sometimes machines even break down, but a lot of the time they just keep working and working and working like the Energizer Bunny. Do you remember the picture of the Energizer Bunny? Right? You remember those commercials from the 90s? The Energizer Bunny, right? That never stops going. Boom, 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 boom. Well, created not as machines, but as divine beings, we have this need for rest as part of our sacred rhythm of life. And there are even times when the machines, like we witnessed in the factory tour, break down. And even if those machines break down, how often do we need those moments of rest, that well-deserved rest? We're not machines, we're divine beings. So do you ever find yourself exhausted? Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed? Yeah, there are times I do. I find myself doing the spinning plates thing. Let's see if we have a picture of that one, where we're spinning the plates, that image, right? And you feel like if someone hands you just one more plate to keep spinning, it's all going to come crashing down. That's why sometimes we just like to use paper plates at our house rather than wash dishes. But I just wonder for a moment, while we're spinning plates and while we're being the Energizer battery that never stops going, how are we doing it caring for ourselves? How are we doing it caring for our bodies? How are we doing it caring for our need just to push pause for a second? Our bodies are these beautiful creations, sacred creations of God with limitations and in only a certain capacity before we have to find that big red button, go stop. On a daily basis, you know, we need those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, however many hours of sleep you need. On a weekly basis, we need those moments to push pause for a second, to put our feet up, to go for a nature walk, just to say, it's time for me to read a good book, just to rest and do whatever it is that nurtures your soul. So as we're in worship this morning, here I always have questions for you, but I want you to think, when was that last time? Or maybe it's right now. When was that last time that you were just incredibly overwhelmed and incredibly exhausted? Are you living that now? But when was that last time, if you're not living it now, when were you incredibly overwhelmed and incredibly exhausted? And then what led up to that? You know, in some cultures, whether it be our places of work or our families or our friendship circles or our faith communities or just society at large, I think in some cultures, I think they honor and praise the sense of exhaustion culture. Do you know what I mean by that? They give glory to living in an exhaustion culture, almost like badges of honor, gold stars that you can wear for working yourself to the bone. You know what I mean? Okay, so here's an imaginary story that maybe you can put yourself in. So imagine you're at work, whether you're currently employed or you're retired, but imagine yourself. Here's a scene. Imagine yourself sitting at a meeting with your supervisor and your colleagues, and you're chit-chatting before the meeting gets going, and coworkers just start sharing about things that are going on, how they're plenty busy, almost kind of a prideful self-praising. Well, one employee comments that they've been working all weekend on a big project that's quickly coming up. They worked 30 hours this week. Another colleague chimes in and says, well, they have a vacation coming up with their spouse and their teenage college-age kids, and they're so excited for those college kids to be back. But you know what? Feel free to text me or email or personally call me, and here's the number to the resort in case you can't reach me other ways. Feel free to reach out. I want to be available. Another employee chimes in and says, well, I'm just not going to even take a resort vacation because there's just too much going on at the office. I can't possibly get away. Well, as the colleagues are chit-chatting, their supervisor praises all three colleagues for their various acts. Thanks for working all weekend. Thanks for letting me call you on your vacation at the resort. Thanks for never even taking time off. And then with each affirmation, the supervisor is enforcing this culture of unhealthy boundaries and exhaustion and normalizing this prioritization over work and never having a time to be still and know that God is God. Giving them one badge of hard work ethic beyond realistic expectations after another. So in my 40 years of life, I like to tell you that last June I turned 40, so I'm young, but I do know a few things. Can I still say I'm young? In my young, but if you still know a few things in life, I've come to really believe that it's not a badge of honor to neglect ourselves or our families. It's not a badge of honor to work ourselves to exhaustion and overwhelmed feelings. It's not a badge of honor to work 70 or 80 hours a week. It's not a badge of honor to never take time off. It's not a badge of honor. You're welcome to disagree with me. But those things contribute to the exhaustion and constantly living lives of neglecting who the beautiful creation is that God made us to be. Our bodies were divinely created in God's image. Each person is a beautiful, sacred worth. And when we let the exhaustion culture take hold of us, are we honoring the person that God wanted us to be? We need rest. We need time to recharge. We need time with our families. We need time away. The gospel message that Rose read for us from the gospel of Matthew, verse 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, if we're supposed to live into the realities of the scripture, if we're supposed to find ourselves then living kind of a countercultural reality, if we're supposed to be Jesus-centered people, it calls us to do something so very countercultural, to resist that grind culture that it pulls us back to, resist that exhaustion culture, the perfectionist culture, all those types of unhealthy ways of being, those voices that whisper in our ears, you're never good enough, you don't deserve a break. You're never good enough, you must produce more. You're never good enough, it has to be perfect, and only when it is perfect, then you'll be good enough. Oh, that good old perfectionism, that stuff that I'd love to toss in the trash. I was reading a really great author recently. Her name is Trisha Hershey, and she says, these are her words, to attempt perfection is to donate your spirit to the hands of a toxic culture. My perfectionism drives us to unnecessary, unsustainable ways of living. Grind culture holds perfectionism as that badge of honor in a system far from perfect. We can strive for excellence, sure, but if we never let ourselves take a moment's pause, if it's never good enough, well, that's perfectionism. And it calls us to unhealthy ways of living. Excellence, doing our best, yes. Showing up to work prepared, of course. Being ready for what you need to do in your volunteerism, of course. But how often are we so hard on ourselves, thinking we're never good enough, or what we do is never good enough? That's such unhealthy ways of living. A couple weeks ago, I told you about my good friend, Mr. Rogers. He's not a personal friend, of course, but I just love Mr. Rogers. And he would look in the television camera, and he would just say, oh, I love you just the way you are. Man, Mr. Rogers just makes you feel good, that retired Presbyterian minister who passed some time back. I love you just the way you are. Each of us is beautiful, sacred creations of God. Part of being this divine creation means we have those limits. we have those moments where we just can't go any farther. So I have more questions. Is this pace of life that you're living, is it something sustainable? Or what changes could you make in your life to make it more sustainable, to make it more enjoyable, to make it more breathable? Could you imagine yourself slowing down for a moment? Could you imagine being more present to your family? Could you imagine having a moment to just walk in God's beauty on a gorgeous fall day? Could you imagine taking a second cup of coffee and not having to rush up from the couch and off to work or on to your next thing? Could you pause and slow down? I know sitting in the sanctuary, we're all different ages and stages of life. Some people are retired, some people are working, and I'll tell you, my parents are both retired and in their mid to later 70s, and they'll say, man, Lindsay, now that we are retired, we are busier than we ever were before. Are you such a busy retiree doing so much that you're like, I want to go back to working full time, that was so much easier? We're all at different places, but can we imagine pushing pause for just a moment? A neighbor of mine growing up had this great sense of how much she could do and how much she would put on the calendar. Their family had two kids, the similar age to my brother and I. And so we often played together, and we would walk down the street to each other's houses and knock on the door. Can they play? Well, I quickly learned that the kids weren't always available to play. And while we loved to play with each other all the time and we'd want to play every day, I quickly learned from their mom that if they'd had something on the calendar that day, if they'd been to the dentist, no, they weren't available to go on a trip to the zoo. Or if they had been out shopping for back-to-school supplies, no, they couldn't go to the park. Or if they had been out and about getting groceries or doing other errands, nope, they weren't available. There was a clear intentional sense of how much got added to their schedule every day. Now, as an elementary kid, it just drove me nuts. But as a parent, I see now that had really great wisdom. She wasn't going to pack too much on the calendar. This is my version of the calendar. Maybe use a paper calendar. I use my phone. A clear sense of how much got added. So how's your calendar doing? How packed is it? Are there regularly scheduled moments for rest amongst your potentially packed calendar? You maybe notice that if you send me an email on a Friday or Saturday, I learned this really well from one of our parishioners, that they send an out-of-office email on their weekend, and I thought, oh, wow, that's really brilliant. Of course, you can reach Pastor John and I in the sense of emergency. Of course, you can reach out. We are here, and if you need my number because you want to be able to reach me, absolutely, I'll be happy to give that to you. But I learned from a parishioner a really healthy sense of needing to take a break. So if you ever email me on a Friday or a Saturday, you might get a bounce back email that says, hey, thanks for your email, but I'm going to be away from emails on Friday and Saturday. And it's a way just to take a moment and rest. Giving ourselves permission to rest. It's interesting how the need for rest becomes this commandment from God. Isn't that crazy how there must be something in people that want to keep working so hard that God says, you know what, I got to make this a commandment. Like, come on, y'all, you need to rest. Have this Sabbath moment to find this way, this time just to be with Jesus, just be with the family, just read that good book, just to walk in the woods. And yet there's this temptation to keep going and going and going and pressing and pressing and pressing and being a machine. But I pray that you'll take this commandment to rest just as seriously as you take the other commands to love God and to love neighbor and to love yourself. Perhaps you'll be willing to do that. As we wrap up this message this morning, if you are like excellent at this, if you take some time every day and every week to take that moment to rejuvenate your soul, job well done. I'm going to sign you up to like lead a seminar for all the rest of us to learn how to do that. I'll fill your calendar. But if it's something that you are hearing this morning, whether it's in the scriptures or the songs or something I mentioned today, it's speaking to your soul. I pray that you'll lean in and listen to that still small voice of God that's echoing you to time away, to breathe, to do your 15 minutes of restful yoga or whatever you do, to center yourself and remember that you're a divine, beautiful creation of God. This closing prayer that I want to share with you is from the Psalms. From Psalm 46:10, I'd invite you to still your heart and mind and to join with me in prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be. Lord, may we learn how to just be in your presence. Amen. It's a joy to invite Sue forward this morning. All right. Well, throughout our Divinely Created Sermon series, we've heard from different artists in our congregation. Our congregation is filled with so many wonderful artists, from stained glass to woodworking. And this morning, it's wonderful to invite Sue Collier up here. She's a quilter. And so I don't know if you call that fabric arts or a quilting.
Kind of fabric art, yeah.
Fabric art.
I don't know if this is on or not.
Is it on? You'll need to
can you
speak.
Hear me?
There you go. You need to kind of put it right up to your...
I put it up closer. Okay.
Put it up a little bit closer. There you go, Sue.
I'm not used to this. Can you tell?
So, Sue, we'd love to know, how did you get into quilting? When did you start doing quilting?
Well, I started sewing when I was like in seventh grade, and I made my clothes. I babysat, bought fabric, made my clothes. When my kids were growing up, I made their clothes. In 2005, my husband passed away, and I call quilting my grief relief, because at that point, God gave me quilting and a job at a quilt shop in Ann Arbor Sewing. And I found it very, very interesting this morning that the other thing that God gave me at that same time was a Bible verse. Mm. And the Bible verse is, "Be still and know that I am God." And I can't begin to tell you what that verse has meant to me over the years and what it meant to me during his illness. So,
what is it about quilting that you love? Grief relief, but what else
well,
is it?
Well, grief relief, and I enjoy the art of quilting. I enjoy putting them together. I enjoy the joy of giving them, because most of them are given. And it's very, very, very comforting to me.
I know you brought some quilts this morning for us to see, so we can take a look at those.
Only four.
Okay, only four.
Only four.
We have lots to show.
And this first one is not a quilt that I made. However, it is my most cherished quilt. And I want to tell you the story. When I was 18...
Do you guys want to come over here? And then we're right in the middle, and the pulpit won't block...
My paternal grandmother had 15 grandchildren. I was one of them, obviously. And she made each of us a quilt top. And this is the quilt top that she made. And all of the colored squares are from feed bags. And then several years after she gave us, I was 18 when I got mine. Several years after that, my mother's UMW group hand quilted it.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's double special to me, and it is my most cherished quilt.
It's absolutely beautiful.
So, yes. And the next one is also special. This is one that I finished pretty recently, actually. It does have an up and a down, yeah. And it is made from hankies, old hankies. I took a class, butterfly hankies. I took a class... how to make this quilt, and if you looked at the pattern that I was given in the class, you'd never know it was the same quilt. The instructor told us to cut all these hankies up and make butterflies out of them, and I just couldn't cut them up. Now, some of those hankies were mine, some of them were my mother's, and a few of them were my grandmother's. Mm-hmm. And all of the buttons for the head of the butterfly were from my mother's button box. So that's why it's special to me. There's one hanky in there. Just keep folding. There's one hanky in there that my grandmother actually crocheted around the edges. So now this one is one that's in progress. And it's an almoster. But I have to tell you the story about this one.
Oh, the T-Rex.
Okay.
She's been talking about this one.
Oh, that's so fun.
I've been talking about this one. Yes, I have. And the story about this one is the quilt out in the hallway is my grandson's birthday present. He just turned 12. His birthday party's on October 7th, and that's his birthday present. Well, he has a brother who will be 6 in a couple of weeks. And I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, Lucas, his brother, says to me, "Nana, I want you to make me a T-Rex quilt." And my daughter was standing there, and she says, "I don't know where that came from." I don't know either, but guess what he's going to get?
T-Rex quilt.
And that's going to be his T-Rex quilt when it's all quilted.
So Sue mentioned the one in the hallway. So if you're in, so sorry, online congregation, you'll have to come in person to see this. But if you walk down the hallway, like around the corner to the bathrooms, right next to the main office, you'll notice it's kind of a rotating art gallery. And those quilts are made by Sue. Right now we have a beautiful quilt up. Is it a cheetah?
It's a cheetah.
A cheetah is up.
Yeah. Now, this one is a Christmas quilt. Obviously, it's a Christmas quilt. And it's one of my favorite quilts. It was one of my favorite quilts to make. I've entered it in several different quilt shows and actually won several blue ribbons with it. It was very, very fun to make. I got the pattern. I have a daughter that at one point lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, and one time when I was down visiting her, there was a quilt show in Dallas, and we went to the quilt show, and there was that's where I got this pattern. There was a quilt there like this, and then I bought the pattern, obviously, and made it, and it's one of my favorite quilts. The drawback to it is you can't use it all the time because it's too Christmassy. Sure. Yeah, the quilting on the back of this one is just absolutely fantastic. And I don't do my own quilting. I send it to what's called a long armor. Thelma knows what that is. Yep. It's outlined all around it. Mm-hmm. All around it. The back is actually as beautiful as the front.
It really is absolutely
gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Sue, for sharing with us some of your fabric art. It's so wonderful to see.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And it gets rotated by the main office about every month or so?
Oh, every month, 6 weeks, somewhere in there.
So mm-hmm. kind of stay
that
tuned.
That one's coming down tomorrow and another one's going up.
Oh, wonderful. We look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, well,
thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
So if you're in worship next week, we're going to look forward to hearing from Arla McPeak. She's going to be sharing with us about pottery. She's a potter. So we can see some of her pottery artwork. Stay tuned for that.
Please join me in a time of prayer. We get home every night and can make a giant list of all our burdens, Lord, that consist of something as large as unrest in the world, all the way to something as small as having a cold. We wake up in the morning having anxiety and stress about what may be to come in the day, but you encourage us to be still. You remind us of who to give these burdens to. And even though this is my personal favorite saying from the Bible, and I have it written on many things surrounding me each day, I forget to be still. And I get overwhelmed. So I can imagine how many people feel the same way. So we pray today that you don't give up on reminding us, that you come to our thoughts during times of extreme stress, but also that we can give up our burdens that seem insignificant. These can pile up in our brains and become debilitating. You tell us over and over in many different ways to rest and to be still, but we plow on thinking that we can do it alone. That if we just ignore the need we have for help, that it will go away. Thank you, Lord, for not going away, but for being steadfast. Your shoulders are big enough to carry a world's worth of burdens. Your arms are wide enough to hold all of us. And whatever troubles us, troubles you. My thoughts go to the song that says he's got the whole world in his hands. Those must be huge hands. But regardless, we are thankful for how capable they are, and we ask you to help us to be the hands for you and this church and all of our creations, that it reflects your spirit and grace, and that we can be of help to others, be a support to others in relationships and in mission. We pray today to be of help to Allison and Bonita as they receive our prayer quilts. We infuse them with our well wishes, prayers for healing, peace, and comfort right now, but also after service. We tie knots in these quilts, and may we make ties with them of love and comfort. Our world is filled with need, and this is our time to offer up prayer to you for strength during suffering, for peace in moments of turmoil, and we pray for hope. We can't even imagine all of the stories that exist in our world, in our state, in our community that people are experiencing. The loss of jobs, the loss of loved ones, the worrying about finances. It all seems unimaginable and overwhelming. But for you, it is a task on your to-do list, and we only need to rest and know that you are God. During those times that we rest, we can use the quiet time to assess all of those things that we can praise you for, all of the gifts in our life, the successes, the great news, the hope for the future. For God, we know that you have brought all those things to us. Now let's take a quiet moment to give up to you our worries and praise from our hearts, and know that when we be still, you are with us. And now let's put all of our voices together and pray as one congregation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So I'm going to invite the ushers to go ahead and come forward, because we're going to be beginning our offering time. But I want to say that if any of you drive a blue CRV and are parked over near the lighthouse or the well, that your alarm is going off. And so if you want to take care of that, that would be helpful for the neighbors. But you know, we're a church family that's always looking for ways to serve God, and that includes by sharing our financial gifts, also by the ways that we share our time and our talents. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? You know, looking at the beautiful quilts today is just one example of ways that we share. But this year, in just a couple of weeks, we have a team heading out for the Redbird Mission, and we want to honor them and especially pray for them today. For those who are newer to the congregation, the Redbird Mission started in the 1920s. It's down in southeastern Kentucky, I think near the Cumberland Mountains. It started with a school. They've had a health clinic, a resale shop, and they do work camps. And they bring people down to help folks down there. So we've sent teams for a number of years, and George Lutz is the one who's coordinating that for us now. So I would like to invite those who are present here in the service, and I know many of you are wearing your work shirts, who are going on the trip this year, I would like you to stand first. And let's thank them. You can see them in their shirts. Now, I'd like you to stay standing for a minute, because I think there's a few other people that make this mission happen. And first of all, if you've ever been on a Redbird mission trip, stand up. If there's some extras that aren't already, oh, it's the same people doing this. There's some more. Thank you. Now, how about the people that worked on the scrap metal drive that made it possible for these people to go? Why don't you all stand up? If you helped at all with the scrap metal drive, please stand. Thank you. And if you have ever prayed for the Redbird Mission, please stand. All right? There's a few more. And if you're about to pray for them, stand up. All right, let's pray. God of all creation, you have shown us that there is a time for rest and a time for work. Be with us in our rest, but as this Red Bird mission team departs for their time of work in Kentucky, we pray that they will have all the help they need for this trip. We pray that their hands and their hearts will be well rested and ready to both give and receive love among the people they will help there. We pray that they will travel safely, that they will work safely and well, whether they are doing construction, working in the resale shop, packing Christmas boxes, whatever you lay before them. Lord, may they travel with your blessing, and may we support them as we pray for them over these next few weeks. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right, you can all be seated. And now it's time for our doxology. Yeah, there we go.
God of heaven, you have given us a moment of rest in worship today. May our offerings continue to grow ministries that offer rest to your people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Church, as you go forth this day from worship, I pray that you give yourself permission to have a moment of rest. If you have a baby or a toddler that are still napping, maybe that rest looks like giving yourself to nap when the baby naps and not have to keep up with the house and the other stuff going on. Or maybe if you have middle schoolers, high schoolers, elementary kids, maybe you're giving yourself this week permission to skip something or to order takeout or whatever it is going to lighten your load. Or maybe this week you're going to give yourself permission to go to bed an hour earlier. Or whatever that moment of rest is, I pray that you be blessed with rest. A moment to reconnect with God, to honor your body's needs. So go forth this day to love God and neighbor and yourself as well. Amen. Amen.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.